This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Another piece to this case, unnecessary, didn't have to happen, but it did happen. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this and if it actually will affect this case as it maybe goes to trial unless things bleed out. What I'm curious how this could affect the case, if anything. A photo posted on the Osceola County Sheriff's Marcus Lopez's personal Instagram page within 24 hours of the teenager's body being found was a picture of the teenager's body. Accidentally posted. Now, I'm fairly certain, I'm sure he probably didn't want that to happen, but how common is this? How easy is this to happen? Is this just kind of the world we live in today where we have such easy access to get information out there? This would imply that he had evidence photos on his phone, his personal device, and then accidentally, you know, you're on Instagram, you click to highlight what you're going to post. Maybe his thumb was a little fidgety that day and he clicked an extra one. It was just supposed to be a photo of an event, and it turned out he put the event photo up and a caption about the event, and then also a picture of Maddie's body on Instagram. Outrage there. At the same point, two incidents of what are you posting after another Osceola County Sheriff's Office official posted a selfie with the suspect. Stephen Stearns is standing in the background as he was, I believe, walking into a cell. What the hell's going on? Sheriff's Department, that these sort of mistakes can happen. Both have been apologized for. Both have been taken down saying it was an accident. But gosh, I mean, posting something like that, what does that mean for this case?
I mean, it's not going to mean anything for the case, but in terms of, you know, just decency,
you know,
it's a problem. And, you know, that's the ugly underbelly of social media, man. You know, it's like, you know, like the cop taking the selfie, you know, probably crowing about how they, you know, got a suspect or whatever he was doing. It's just, you know, like keep your business out of your personal life, you know, on your personal accounts. And especially when you're talking about the sheriff's account on Instagram,
and
that going out is inexcusable, really.
Well, I mean,
imagine, Tony, if we had a mother that was like a typical victim's mother, you know, and that goes out, like how mortified the family would be, like in just in general, you know. I mean, it just it can't happen, you know. And like I mean, what do we have to do? Do we have to start making rules? Probably. You know, employers have to make rules about social media accounts. And, you know, I mean, there should always be some oversight maybe when you're dealing with like law enforcement agencies in terms of who's handling the socials and making sure that mistakes like this don't happen. You know, I mean, I have to assume it was an honest mistake, but what a brutally horrific mistake to make.
We're talking about evidence photos here of a murder of a 13-year-old. Number one, why is that on his phone? Aren't there protocols to this, or is this something, one of those magical things we all assume exists, that these sort of things would be held in some other device or some other storage capacity that's not just, you know, next to photos of his dog on his phone where it could easily be accessed? But are there no protocols for this sort of thing where this sort of accident just couldn't happen because they're stored somewhere safe and secure?
I mean, if there's not, there should be. And yeah, that's exceptionally unusual. Typically, you know, discovery is kept in a very secure location by law enforcement, by the prosecutor's office, once it gets turned over to them. And, you know, typically by the defense as well. You know, I mean, those are the three agencies that will typically get their hands on evidence in terms of preparing the case. And yeah, I can't think of a situation why he would have taken a photograph of a photograph. And you know what I mean?
Like, or unless he was, is he supposed to be there at the scene using his phone to take photos?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like, you know, that's like a major county, You know what I mean? They have crime scene techs that are, or evidence techs that are out there taking those photographs. You know, all those have to get turned over to the defense.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, I mean, to the state and the defense, both.
Because here you have it where, okay, he accidentally clicked on an extra picture on Instagram and it went up. My thought is, okay, you know, if this is your device, this is your personal account, and you're out living your life, I think most of us at one point or another have lost a phone in the course of the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Someone gets a hold of that and it's evidence photos of this case and God knows what else. The implications of that, I mean, that is so sloppy and so dangerous, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I've never heard of anything like that.
Yeah.
Like I've never heard of a situation where like a law enforcement officers are using their personal devices to take photographs of crime scenes. That's what I'm saying. To me, the more likely scenario is that he, for whatever reason, took a pic of another pic of one of the crime scene pics and decided to have it on his phone.
Like
I can't think of a reasonable explanation as to why that would have been done. Yeah. Like I can almost guarantee that it wasn't him at the crime scene taking shots. I mean, is that to say that an officer couldn't use their personal phone to take some photographs? Like if they're responding officer, the first to the scene, and they're worried about preserving something, mm-hmm. like say, for instance, there's weather,
yeah.
you know, and they're the first one to the scene and there's like a footprint and they're like, oh my God, I'm like worried, you know, like in the 10 minutes that it may take, you know, my support to get here, I'm going to take some photographs just to preserve evidence.
Sure.
Because I'm worried it might get spoiled. You know, those are extenuating circumstances. But in terms of like having photographs of the victim, you know, like, and I haven't seen it. I didn't see it. So I don't know what it was. It's odd. It's odd. It's strange to me, you know, and why he would keep it on there, you know, is the next question. It's like, oh, so if there was some kind of circumstance in which he needed to use his personal device to take the photographs, and why is he keeping them on his own personal device after the fact? You know, like that seems like they should be deleted off his device. You know, I mean, frankly, it's a crime. Like if you and I got caught with that picture, it's child pornography, you know, assuming that if she's clothed or if she's not clothed, I mean, it's a criminal act to have even be in possession of that kind of photograph. So I don't know. It's a weird circumstance. It really is.
Yeah. At the very least, something that the protocol needs to be looked at if this is how they're operating.
Want to listen ad free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.